Earlier this week, I was reading Proverbs chapter 5. And in Proverbs chapter 5, you'll find these words. For in front of the eyes of the Lord are the ways of a man, and all his paths he weighs. All his paths he puts in the weighing scales. Think of those words. For in front of the eyes of the Lord are the ways of a man, and all his tracks, all his paths, the Lord is weighing. But literally, putting it in the weighing scales. You'll find that in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21. And when I read that, I remembered what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians. He wrote this. He said, "We make it our aim," this is the Apostle speaking, "we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be pleasing to him," to be pleasing to him. And both of these verses, and there are many other like them, remind us that we live our lives before the sight of God. And I want to begin this morning by asking you, and I ask myself the same question, do you care what God sees? Do you care what God sees? Do you think of him weighing your paths? And do you care what his judgment is? Does it matter to you if God is pleased with your ways or not? That's the question I want to begin with. Okay? In front of the eyes of the Lord are the ways of a man, and he is weighing all his paths, all his tracks. Now, I've just read to you Numbers chapter 15 and the second half of that chapter. The events that I read to you about took place about 3,500 years ago. 3,500 years ago. And this was the situation. The people of God, Israel, they had just left Mount Sinai. Okay? If you remember, they had been gathered at Mount Sinai, and it was a terrifying place. They heard thunder, there was fire, the ground shook, and they were afraid. And from that mountain, the Lord gave to Moses his law. And we read part of that law. And Moses, having come down, particularly with the two tablets of stone and other commandments of God, then the people went out on their journey into the wilderness. And the text tells us that somebody or other, or some people, found a man collecting wood. So he'd gone out of the camp and he was collecting wood. And the reason why he was collecting wood was either that he was going to light a fire to do work, so either that, or he was gathering wood so that he was preparing to do his work early the next day. But either way, he went out into the area around the camp and he was collecting sticks or wood. And it would have been to make a fire to do work. And you heard what happened. The people who found him, they brought him into the camp and they didn't know what should be done to him. And so they asked the Lord, and the Lord told them. And the Lord's answer is in verse 35. Then the Lord said to Moses, let me read it to you again, "The man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." And so they did. Can I ask you some questions about that? My first question is this. Was the Lord pleased with that man? He was not pleased with him. Was the Lord pleased with that man? No. But then I want to ask you another question. Was what he did all that bad? How bad was it? Would you say, well, that was a tiny thing to do, go and pick up a few sticks? Was it that bad? And can I ask you another question? Do you think that God's judgment on him was too severe? How many people might in their hearts say, that was tough. That was too hard. He should have given him a second chance. What do you think? Many, many people would say, surely, they would say, that's the kind of thing you'd expect to hear about on the streets of Tehran or somewhere. Was God too severe in condemning the man to death and death by stoning outside the camp? What do you think? What do you think about God's judgment told to us? This happened. That man was killed. Executed, I'll say. And it's there in the Bible so that we can think about it. And I ask you now another question. Well, what did he do wrong? What was his sin? What do you think? What did he do wrong? Well, would you say he disobeyed the fourth commandment? Would you agree with that? He disobeyed the fourth commandment. He went out, it's quite clear, on the Sabbath day and got on with his business. He disobeyed. That was sin. Sin is to disobey the commandments of God. So he disobeyed the fourth commandment. But that's not all he did, is it? That's not all he did at all. The thing is this, he had only just heard these commandments. You see what's happened? The Lord had given his word to him, and then he disobeyed it. Okay? Now, the text tells us that he had despised the word of the Lord. The word sin presumptuously, it's sin with a high hand. What that means is to boldly defy the word of God. We've seen instances like this in the life of Jeremiah. Jeremiah prophesied and they promised, we will do what you say. And then when he said what he said from the Lord, they said, we're not going to do it. It's in face of the word of God, someone stands up and says, I don't care what God has said. I don't care about him. I'm doing what I want to do. And it's really, it's more than he didn't make a mistake. This man didn't make a mistake. He went out and it was in public. And they found him because they could see what he was doing. It's almost as if he was defying God in the face of all his people. It says there in the passage we read, one that brings a reproach on the Lord. One that brings a reproach on the Lord. I want you to understand how greatly this man dishonored the Lord. In the text on the service sheet from Isaiah, it contains the words on the third line, and shall honor him, and shall honor him. And the point I want to bring you to this morning is this, that the Lord gave his people his commandments. And among those commandments was the Sabbath day. It was these things were given so that the people of God might honor God the Lord. Okay, so it's not just about doing what you're told. It's about honoring him. I mean, as we saw last week, Isaiah talks about calling the Sabbath a delight. Why call a Sabbath a delight? Because that's the day when God calls us to stop looking down. Do you remember the man with the muckrake? He could only see the straw. It's the day when we stop looking down and we look up and see the crown. We think on God, okay? The crown of heaven that we will receive. We look at heavenly things. Our thoughts are directed towards God and heaven and not towards the business of the week, okay? That's what it's about. Now, I hope you can all see that that's there as plain as a pikestaff on the surface of the text. Okay? It's there, you can see it. But I want to move on to a second question, really. The question I want to move on to is, what about us today? I said to you just now, this happened 3,500 years ago. But what about us today? I'm asking this kind of question. Last Sunday, when in the morning service we looked at the fourth commandment, I wonder if anyone went home and decided to mow the garden or do their homework or go to the shop or whatever. And I'm asking the question, therefore, what does the fourth commandment have to do with us today? What does it have to do with us today? The fourth commandment you will find in Exodus 20 and repeated in Deuteronomy 5. But what does it have to do with me and with you? That's the question. Now, let me only begin to answer this question today. Okay? First of all, let me say this to you, that the Ten Commandments are in many ways unique within the law. They are absolutely unique. In Exodus 31 and 32, twice, we are reminded that these commandments were written by God or by the finger of God on tablets of stone. Now, I haven't got time this morning to talk about the significance of tablets of stone, but these commandments were written by God, and the rest were written by Moses. God has marked out the Ten Commandments. And really, that leaves me the question, well, have the Ten Commandments been abolished? Or are we left with nine? Has one of them been abolished? What do you think? Has the fourth been taken out or left there? Do they still stand? Okay, so I'm asking that question, I'm not answering it. Do those Ten Commandments still stand? We'll come back to that a little bit later. And then last week, I showed you that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, the Lord appointed the Sabbath day as a creation ordinance. And I asked, do you remember, I said there are three creation ordinances, really. There's work, the calling to work. There's the institution of marriage. And then there's the Sabbath day, holy to the Lord your God. Now, I asked the question then, what about the other creation ordinances? Does anyone here think that marriage has been abolished? Or that work has been abolished, that we can live in this world without taking care of it and subduing it? Do we believe that the other creation ordinances have been abolished? I think you'll answer no. Well, why would so many think that the Sabbath ordinance has been abolished? So I look at the Ten Commandments and the creation ordinances and I say, well, these seem to be established, these seem to be permanent. But then someone is going to say to me, but have you read Colossians chapter 2? And if you have a Bible, please will you turn to Colossians chapter 2. We're going, I think we're going at a slow pace here. Not rushing. I'm very happy to do that. If you have a Bible, if you turn to the New Testament, nearly the end, Paul's letter to the Colossians. And someone is going to turn around and write me an email later and say, haven't you read Colossians chapter 2? And for your sake, don't waste your time. I have read it. And I want to look at it with you now. Okay? Now then, keep that chapter in your mind and listen to this first. They had a problem in the church at Colossae. They had a real problem. They had more than one problem. I'm only interested in one, okay? There were people in the church at Colossae who were criticizing their brothers because they were eating food that the law of Moses or the Levitical code said was unclean. Why are you eating unclean meat? You know this. It's not kosher. Pork is not kosher. Why are you eating it? And then, why aren't you keeping the feasts? They were thinking of the Passover, the Day of Atonement, the Day of Weeks or Pentecost, the Tabernacles, Rosh Hashanah. They were thinking of all the calendar and all the new moons and Sabbaths. Why aren't you keeping it? And Colossians 2, the last word in verse 16 is the word Sabbaths, plural. There were lots of Sabbaths in the law, not just the seventh day. And the problem was, why are you doing this? And then in verse 21, they were saying in the church, this is what you should do. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. In other words, don't taste pork, don't touch anything unclean. And can you see what the problem was? The problem was that there were some in the church that were requiring the believers to observe the Levitical commandments. All of them. These words go back to Leviticus chapter 23 and Leviticus chapter 11. Now Paul's answer to them is in verse 14. Don't you know that those things have been wiped out? There's no getting around from it. Getting around it, wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. And in verse 17, Paul says, "Don't you know that those things are a shadow of the realities to come, the things to come?" Okay. So, can you see the problem? The church was upset. Because some people were saying, why have you put away the Levitical laws? Why don't you go and read Leviticus 23 and Leviticus 11? And why aren't you doing that? And Paul says, no, the handwriting that you're talking about has been wiped out. Right? Because it only deals with the shadow. And he says in verse 17, but the substance, the reality, is Christ, or is in Christ. In other words, Paul is directing the church, don't go and try and observe Passover and all the rest of it. There are Christians that do today. They're making a big mistake, but they try and observe all these feasts and don't get trapped into the unclean foods laws. The reality is what you want, and the reality is in Christ. Can you see in verse 14, he's saying that Christ took all that writing and he nailed it to the cross. What he means is this. When Christ was nailed to the cross, we no longer needed the sacrifices and the Levites and all those laws which were only the shadow. Who needs the Passover when you have the Lord's Supper? We don't need it. And so Paul is pushing them towards the Lord Jesus Christ. He nailed it to the cross. In other words, because Christ was crucified, all of those Levitical requirements are no longer required of us. But notice verse 19. Notice verse 19. What does Paul want them to do? He wants them to hold fast to the head. In other words, he wants them to hold fast to Jesus Christ, who is the reality of all of that. Hold fast to Christ. Can you see what Paul is saying? He doesn't want them to get distracted into lots and lots and lots of little laws. What you need to do is hold fast to the head, hold fast to Christ. And he goes on with this in chapter 3. If you have your Bibles open, look. If then you were raised with Christ, he's saying, are you a believer? Were you with him when he was crucified? Have you been raised with him from the dead? Then seek the things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. What is he doing? He's directing them to the very heart of the Sabbath day. Why was the Sabbath day given in the first place? It was given so that we might stop looking at the straw on the ground and look up to our Lord. And he's saying this to us. He's saying, seek the things which are above. It's as if he's saying to you, lift up your eyes. Look at Christ and look at the reality that you have. The New Testament speaks about the Lord's table. It also speaks about the Lord's day. Paul is not saying to them, be careful of this, Paul is not saying to them, set aside the Ten Commandments and have Christ instead of them. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, if you like, receive the Ten Commandments in Christ. That's what he's saying. If you follow him, I can't read it all this morning, but if you follow the rest of the chapter, he is taking them through. He says, for example, he says, let me find it. Therefore, he says, put to death. What do you want to put to death? Fornication. What's that? The seventh commandment. Uncleanness, passion, desire, covetousness. The tenth commandment. And later he deals with more. So what Paul is saying is, now that Christ has died, the ceremonies of the law, the Levitical code, has gone. But the substance is closer to us. The reality is, so to speak, more ours than theirs. Because Christ has died. And those who live in Christ live according to God's commandments. The commandments are given to us as a light for our path. And that path is lived in Christ. Now, I've only begun to scrape the surface of this, and it may be that I can continue with it on another occasion. But I do urge you to take the time to read very carefully some of these passages, and don't. There are dangerous statements in the New Testament, you know. There's statements in Colossians, there's statements in Hebrews, which as Peter says, the unstable rest to their own destruction. They misread the scriptures. We mustn't be in that position. We must read it right. And so I say to you this morning, the Lord Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. It's his day. And it's for us. This day is for us to know him and to honour him and not do the things that we might otherwise do. Amen.